Okay, hello. I'm Johnny. I am 16. Hello. Hello, Greg. Hello. I've been at Emmanuel for 16 years, all my life. I became a Christian at the age of 12 at Going Bananas. Going Bananas! Who remembers North? PNs, if you remember North. Enthusiasm right there. Yeah, that's a little bit about me. As Moyo said, I'm here to briefly talk to you about God's love, unconditional. So you may be thinking, what really does that mean, unconditional love? It's kind of can be a big word. And being a teenager, I can kind of easily sort this by just getting out my phone and going on Google. So that's what I did. And certain sources tell me unconditional love is to love somebody with no conditions, no circumstances, and to love completely. Affection without any limitations at all, no limitations. So yeah, God loves us, no conditions, absolutely none. So basically, you could be the very top of your game, best job in the world, whatever that is. You could be the worst, very worst of the worst. You could, I'm looking at you guys here. You could take custard creams, if you're a custard cream kind of person, He will love you. I mean, your parents might be a bit annoyed, but it's just mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling how crazy God's love is for us. Can I have a show of hands? Who would say they love custard creams? Love custard creams. Or, okay, what about Bourbons? Who's a Bourbons person? Boo! Get out! Should not have asked that question. Put your hands up if you love your mum. Correct answer, especially on Mother's Day. So, you've just told me there that you love custard creams, or Bourbons, and you love your mum, and I'm sure your dad as well. Sorry, I didn't ask that, but it's not Father's Day. Are you effectively comparing biscuits to your parents? Correct. No is the answer. You're not. There are different types of love. Unconditional love being one of them. We have a video now. Very nice video. Funny video. I think it's going to play. Isn't that a great video? Daddy or chips. Two very different types of love. As good as YouTube is at telling us these kind of stuff, this thing here is almost 10 times better. 10 times better. So... Maybe a bit more. So, Romans 5:8. There it is. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Still sinners? In short form, we didn't deserve it at all. At all. Didn't deserve any of it. But, and here's the good bit. Because God's love for us was conditional, because it's without limitation, and because there are no conditions, we, through Jesus, were saved. And that's just amazing. Just amazing. Another one, John 4:8. Oh yeah, that is it. whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God doesn't just love. No. He is love. We're told in the Bible to love as Jesus loved, as God loves. And we're able to do that through the love that God has given us. And to love is to know God. And that is amazing. So that's... That's my brief little synopsis, I guess. I think a roll of paper. We're going to go back into worship. A roll of paper is going to be rolled at the front. And after the first song, hold your horses. After the first song, you will be able to graffiti all over this. Obviously, topical. That's upside down. Draw what you want. Go crazy. Not too crazy. But yeah.
Let me find my notes somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome. So, I'm Ollie. I am also 16, like Johnny and some of the other youth, and I've also come here my entire life. And it's a real privilege to come and take the sermon today. I'm not sure. I think my dad may have preached before. If not, I am the first tailor to preach, which they may have well have shown up, but they haven't. So, sad times, really. They've gone to see Jacob. Favoritism. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. I've come to this church all my life. And although I knew Jesus when I was younger, when I became a Christian, I was quite a small person. And I didn't truly know the love of Jesus and what it meant to be a Christian. Basically, I was not living for Jesus. But as time went on, I felt like my walk of faith grew and grew. And then something happened to change all that. I became a teenager. See, when you become a teenager, a lot of things of this world hit you. You go through RE and they ask some very challenging questions, which challenge your faith quite a lot, actually. And as many of you know, I am a runner. I run for the county, or the region, actually. And so as I started training, I felt like I was idolizing my sports a lot more than I was idolizing God. And through that, I knew that was wrong. But now I know that his sole purpose is for me to run. So every time I go out there, I run for the glory of God. And every time, I know that he loves me, and I know that his hand is always on me whilst I'm running. But when I was at New Day last year, something happened that really tore apart my life. I felt as though I was thrown in this pit that seemed like you could never get out of, right? But Jesus spoke to me and said everything is going to be okay and that he loves me. So through that, I've gone from being in this really low place to flying higher than I've ever flown in my entire life. And glory to God for that, because he's amazing. And the Lord loves it when you speak to him, because I was praying a lot. And he doesn't like it when we're in this state of depression or anything like that. So this is why I'm going to preach on the story of Barabbas and the story of Jesus going to the cross. So before I read from scripture, I'm just going to quickly pray that the Lord reveals his true message for us. So, yeah, Father, I thank you that you've blessed me to come and deliver your word today. And as I read from the scripture, I pray that hearts are opened, eyes are opened, and that they too know the love of God, if they don't know it, and if they do, that their love and their faith grows stronger, those roots get planted even deeper. Amen. All right. Thank you for that. So today we're going to read from Matthew 27:11-26. So, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Do you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus who calls himself Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him his message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. Which one of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They also answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took the water and washed his hands in the front of the crowd. I'm innocent for this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Yep. So we see this passage that Jesus is going to the cross and everything seems pretty normal. Like when I was younger, the way I was taught it was that there was this man called Barabbas, but we don't really know much about him except that he is a leader of an insurrection. He's a rebel. And sometimes I wonder why is Barabbas like even mentioned? Because I certainly felt that when I was younger, because he just seems to be another character to the story. But now Pilate stands in front of the crowd in Jerusalem and thinks to himself, I hold the two destinies of these two people in my hands. And I know that the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, they get to set someone free. So he now presents Jesus, the Son of the Living God, against Barabbas, the thug and the rebel. See, to me, there is no comparison here. That Barabbas is the rightful prisoner. He should be on death row. He deserves the chains. He deserves everything. And deserves to go to the cross. But all the crowd are like, nah, we want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. And so Jesus stands there and does absolutely nothing. Like, that is out of this. Well, how would you feel if you were Jesus and you were stood there and you were about to go get crucified and you're about to get crucified for being innocent? It's just like, sometimes I can't get my head around it. So the Roman soldiers, they came over to Barabbas and they started to take his chains off and he walks down the platform a free man. And he's welcomed by all his thug friends, all the people that he was in rebellion with. And he's just like, yeah, my people love me. Yeah, my people, I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. See, there was no account of Barabbas turning to Jesus and being like, yo, you save me, for I am forever in your debt. Because the crucifixion hadn't happened. But there was no recognition in Barabbas. And Jesus knew that. For Jesus knew that the will of the Father would have to be that God would have to cheat Jesus like Barabbas so that he could cheat Barabbas like Jesus. So, see, that's unconditional love. See, he stood there, an innocent man, not getting angry, not doing anything, and he takes the cross, he takes all our suffering, he takes all our pain, and sets us free from this deep sin. And as God sends his son to be our sacrifice, that puts us in ultimate relationship with the Lord, and that he was sacrificed for all our sins and all our wrongdoings so that we can now live in relationship with him. See, now most people of this generation always bang on about how they've been saved and that because I'm in this deep dark place, I have to work to get myself free. See, that's the opposite of the gospel. See, you may as well stop because you can't physically save yourself. You can't solve your own problems. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood there when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's like, is there no other way but let your will be done? Which theoretically means he was literally stood there and said, yes, let them have Barabbas. Take me instead. How many times have we stood there and Barabbas is like, no. I deserve all of these chains. I deserve all of this guilt. I deserve all of this. But Jesus stands there. And he looks at me. He says, no, go live. Go live a free life. Like, the only way we had that is by Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. And that's something that we can never, like, give back. So, and all the time, the guilt and the shame, we always say, you know, I deserve this, I deserve the guilt, I deserve the shame. But God says, give me your shame. See, Jesus took Barabbas' place, our place, because we are the Barabbas in the story. I've looked and everything that, we might not be a rebel against Rome or anything like that, but we've all sinned. We've all sinned to fall short of the glory of God. We can't deny that we haven't sinned. It's impossible. Only a perfect man, and that's Jesus, who went to the cross to take our place, hasn't sinned, which makes our lives even more worth living for Jesus. So there is no conditions with God's love. And this changes everything. Like from the play where Barabbas turns and says, he died for me, that changes everything. We see that we now need to live our lives. And I found that out. And I found that he loves me. And I find that he loves everyone else in this room. And that we need him, because otherwise we would be lost. So as I leave, well, go and sit back down again. I'm not leaving the place. But as I go back to sit down, I just want to give the opportunity. See, I feel like there are some people in this room that don't yet know the love of the Heavenly Father. And I've got a group of great guys down there. And we would love to pray for you, if that is you. And there's also the people that know the Lord, but may not know fully of his love. They may not know his true love. And I want to pray for all of them as well. So at the end of the service, now when we go back into worship, we would love to take time and to pray for you. So, yeah. And remember, throughout this week, that God loves you no matter what. Thank you.